Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Welcome to the house of the Lord.
Yes.
I just want to read Psalms chapter 23. Let's look at it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your strength this morning.
Yes, thank you for your strength.
Thank you, God, for strengthening us in our inner man. Hallelujah. You may be seated. You know we'll praise all through today, but kids have a drama this morning, and we're just going to talk about the love of God and want to try to show how much He does care about us. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Elder Sonia sends her love. She was talking to me yesterday, and I told her that the saints have been praying since Thursday. And I just want you to know that you brought her out of the clutches of death. The prayers of the saints. Amen. Prayers of the saints. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's some things I can't share right now, but there's some that I can share. And when she was unconscious, and she would come back and forth, and Elder Carl said her spirit was praying in tongues. Somebody say, "I don't believe in tongues." Well, her spirit, man. It wasn't Sonia. It wasn't anything to do with her mind. It wasn't something that she mimicked and learned from somebody else at the altar. It was the Spirit of the living God coming forth out of her. And I knew when I left that fastening prayer, I felt the quickening to go when they put her on life support. When they put her on life support, I was laying right here at this altar with Elder Dana and Michelle, and I said, "I think I can go now." And I still was unsure in my spirit if she was going to live or die at that, you know, at this particular time. And I went ahead and started getting my stuff ready to go to Shreveport. And the Spirit said, "She's in my hands." So there is prayer. There are battles. There are fights that we go through in the spirit realm. But He said that He would deliver us out of them all. He said that persecution comes to the righteous, but God will deliver us out of them all. And it comes for the word's sake, and it rains on the just and the unjust. So as we were praying, someone said, "This seems unreal." And I said, "It doesn't seem unreal to me, because I went through those experiences with people when they were holy, they were sanctified, and they were worthy of heaven, and maybe not, we didn't deserve them anymore because they were so holy." You ever had a loss like that? You just knew the purity in that person, that the world wasn't really even worthy of them. And but I said, "God, if by your grace and mercy, would you let Elder Sonia come back to us?" And she started speaking in tongues, and we were about 2 or 3 in the morning. Elder Carl would text us Thursday night and say, she's coming to, she's speaking in tongues. And then she'd be unconscious. "She's coming to, she's speaking in tongues. She's coming to, she's speaking in the tongues." And the doctors said, all kind of doctors, neurologists, eye doctors, you know, every kind of doctor you can think of coming in out of that room in Shreveport. And they said, "Is this normal for her?" They thought it was a symptom. Yeah. Hey, it's something when you can impress the neurosurgeon. Hallelujah. Woo. Just makes me want to dance. Hallelujah. I might have to dance before the day's up. But they said, "Is this normal for her?" Elder Carl told them what it was. He told them, you know, he can teach. So he taught them what the Holy Spirit was, and what that was, the baptism, the manifestation, one of the manifestations of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so, and then she did that all that night and all that day. And then she was unresponsive about 10 Friday morning. And he called me, and he was still speaking the word that she said in this pulpit 2.5 weeks ago that God gave her. So I just hooked up with her word. I hooked up with her faith. Hey, she made it easy for me to believe because she already went in there and got her own word. The Bible says to fight the good fight of faith. I was listening to her brother, which is a pastor, and he said that God had came giving him a word for his church. And he said that people were coming to him and saying, where are the miracles? Where are the books, the book of Acts? They said, we're getting discouraged because we're not seeing them, but we are seeing. I do see them. I see them. And they said, we're not seeing them, and I'm not sure I want to stay saved because I don't know if I believe anymore. And he said he started to teach her and preach to her what he always has said, which was good, you know, what God had given him in the past to say to people. But he said when he opened his mouth, this is what came out. The people you prayed for last week, that maybe you didn't see them rise up, he said, there's a time coming and the time is quick that you're going to see them rise up. He said, it's not that that prayer didn't work. He said, but you're going to see the manifestations of those prayers come to pass in these last days. He said, the battle's not for your salvation anymore. He said, the battle's for your faith. The battle's for your faith. The battle is to tell you that it don't work. It's a lying devil. He's a deceiver. He's come to steal your faith. But Paul said, I fought a good fight of faith. Paul didn't say, and Brother Gary said I could use that. I didn't plan on it, though. Paul didn't say, I'm fighting for my salvation anymore. Because he done been through all the perils and a lot more than I've been through. But it came a time where he said, at the end of his life, he said, I fought the good fight of faith. That means when your pastors leave, when your husbands leave, when your wife leaves, when your mama dies, and you believe God for it, to hang on what's on the inside of you, which is Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of your faith. The author and finisher of your faith. I need some men. Get up here. I need some men. Yes. So I've been taught for 15 years, you got to know what the battle is.
Yes.
So I want us to see today, what's the battle? What comes against your mind? What came against their mind, the children of Israel? When God said, I've showed you a land, I'm going to take you into it. A land of Canaan, milk and honey. What came before them? Doubt, fear, unbelief, because circumstances hit their lives. Because things happened to them to make them not believe that God was real. But that came too late. Circumstances are too late for me. Hey! All I can tell you is when I had little faith, when I was in the world, the devil didn't mind knocking me up against a wall or stealing all my money. Or making my kids sick or bringing division in my family. What I got to lose to fight this fight of faith? What I got to lose? We come against that thing to tell you you're going to lose everything. You come out of the body of Christ. Get out of Freedom Ministries. Bible says if I lose my life, I'm going to gain it. Maybe you pray for people and they died where they got healed in heaven. But I'm not going to sit around and say it don't work for me. I'm going to pray for the next one and the next one and the next one and the next one. The anointing on this ministry is deliverance. But you got to walk those anointings out. And when I first started praying for people, one of them started clawing at their arms and seeing devils in the room. And said, call your mama. Well, that don't make you feel very good. So I called my mama crying. And I said, she asking for you. She said, well, Annie, is what she used to call me. Annie, you went for the biggest, the baddest devil out there in Crossed, Arkansas. Walked right to a witch's house. And never, I never been in that room and seen her do it. because she didn't want us to hear everybody's business.
Right.
So I used to want to go see it and learn, but she didn't let you learn like that. You had to learn by the Spirit of God. And and how to learn is standing right over here and keeping my eyes closed when she's over here praying for the sick and casting out devils. And I'd close my eyes and I would pray in the Spirit. And I let my spirit man come forth. And some days he'd say, go over there and lay hands with her. And some days she'd tell me to get back. And some days I would help her pray. And then that anointing, that same anointing that was on her, came upon my life. And now that anointing is on your life. If you're part of this ministry to set the captive free. And the enemy don't want us to take people out of Egypt and bring them into Canaan. But I got news, because we're going to Canaan now. One thing about God, he told Pastor Pinson, he said, I've given you the city. She's sitting under a pastor at the time. She didn't go out and try to take that city. She didn't really know what that meant yet. She just went and did her daily activities in the church, prayer time, show up for church. And then when the day came, because Jesus is the door, when he opens those portals up and that place gets open, the phone call came for her to step into her destiny. And she stepped into it. And now there's a place that sets the captive free. And you know, when they killed Jesus, the devil, if he only knew what he had done, Brother Kim, if he knew that when he killed Jesus and Jesus resurrected, He breathed the breath of life in those disciples. That's why I believe one of the reasons they said we're going to do greater works is because there's more of us. There was one of him, and he's got 12. He's trying to impart this vision in that he had. And I used to wonder why she would just put in the same people for so many years. But Jesus did the same thing. He imparted what he had into those disciples, into the doubters, the fearful, the unbelieving. And when it got time for him to finish his course and say that he fought a good fight of faith also, those disciples left him because they were so afraid. But that impartation had already happened. That anointing had already been released. That's why you don't just need to sit under teaching. You need to sit under preaching, under a prophetic word from the living God. So an impartation can go on the inside of your spirit. And you may not know what happened to you, but one day you're going to wake up and your spirit's going to be praying. Your spirit's going to be doing the vision. Your spirit's going to be casting out devils and healing the sick and raising the dead and binding up the brokenhearted and setting the captive free and preaching to the poor that don't know Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's why we go past the mine.
Yes.
But we tore down walls. She built a foundation for 10 years and we tore walls down for 3, and now it's ready to plant.
Hey. Hey, hey, hey.
So Elder Sonia's in there, so I got some good news for some people. Because she prophesied.
Yes.
Jesus, he told me, he said, she's in my hands. So all I could do was worship God over her.
Amen.
And praise him over her. And when I got down there, Elder Carl said she was prophesying. Her spirit was praying. And then all of a sudden these words came out of her. Said for Sue and Kim not to ever give up. Don't jump ship. She said, don't jump ship. She said, don't ever give up. Said, Michelle, the manifestation of your healing is on the verge of us seeing it right now. She saw a vision of the miracles in this church, and she said it was on the elder's side, and she didn't know. Now she's saying this out of her spirit. I don't know why it's on the elder's side instead of the pastor's, but she said, because I'm going to Rome, which is the word that I gave her. If God gave you a healing ministry, Paul was in that shipwreck, and everybody was scared because they were in a wreck, and he come out of that fasting and prayer. He said, I can't die. I got to go talk to Caesar. I got to go to Rome. So she saw Rome right over here for us to not depend on the pastor, but for the elders to get in the prayer and the fasting to save the sick. James said, is there any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. It didn't say the pastors. Let them call for the elders and let them pray the prayer of faith for the sick, and the Lord would raise them up. And if they commit any sin, he would forgive them of that sin. But what's so precious to me is she don't remember it. She don't remember one drop of pain. They did brain surgery on her. She don't remember pain. She don't remember being sick. She don't remember throwing up for a week. And the only thing that was coming out of her was spirit. 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 And that's what God was telling me. She's in my hands. And like Sister Julie said, she's so connected to the Spirit of God that it was up to him and her if she comes back. It done went past us. So you can go to a place in prayer over your children where that rest comes, where that peace comes, which is the vision in Joshua chapter 1. He said that he was going to, told Moses to take them out. And then he imparted that vision into Joshua and said, you take them over. He said, you know how to enter into rest. You know how to enter into peace. He said, now help somebody else. He said, and everywhere your foot goes, he said, then it's yours. So there's a rest. Hebrews chapter 4 says there remains a rest for the people of God. But the rest isn't in me trying to make it happen in my mind. The rest is not mental assent. The rest is not mental assent. It's an impartation. It's a prayer until something happens out of the spirit man. Till spirit connects with spirit. Till deep calls to deep. Deep calls to deep. And then that water spouts come out. And then you'll have a word for your son. Then you'll have faith for your situation. Then you'll have victory over it. And no devil in hell. He said, I'm going to build my rock church on this rock of revelation. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. The Bible says, stir up the gift that's within you. So let's stir up that gift of faith. Let's start the gift of faith that we rise up and we start operating the gift of faith. We rise up like she was doing on her, where the devil was trying to take her out, and operate in faith and operate in that spirit. Speak words over the body and prophesy. Let that faith rise up into you in that degree. Get enough confidence in God this year that you can move mountains. You can move mountains. He said, I give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He said, I went to hell to get the power back from the devil. The devil came and stole it from God's people. But God sent his son to go in there and get it back for us. He said, I have all power over the devil. I have all power in heaven and earth and under the earth. Every name has to bow down to the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, lives on this side of me. So every name has to bow. So I want to stir up that gift on this side of you.
Yes.
I want to stir up that gift. He said he gave every man a measure of faith.
Yes.
And like we've been teaching around here for years, it won't happen out of your mind.
No.
So let's learn how to exercise it today. Let's learn how. If this is the key to my breakthrough, it's letting the Spirit pray through me. Which Romans 8:26 says, he says, let me look at it. Let's read it real quick. Thank you, Jesus. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So he's going to pray through us. That spirit man's going to pray just like he was praying through her. And I heard him talking about Elder Robert, three reasons why people don't operate in faith. And one of them because they didn't want to. But I believe if we could see the revelation of what it'll do for us, I believe we see that that's how we take our land. I believe if the scales could come off our eyes and we could really believe it and quit operating in, you know, doubt, fear, and unbelief. Everybody else, we don't operate in unplaying. We don't operate in doubt, fear, and unbelief. But let that Spirit pray through us, then you can have every prayer answered. I'm talking about every prayer answered. It might not be the way you want it. But even when people backslide, I've seen God give them what they wanted. You want to go and work and do this? Come on, I'll give it to you. You want your own way? You can have it. You go ahead and go that way, because he loves us that much that he's not going to make us serve him. But the first time I learned how to operate this principle, that if that spirit man could pray through me, then I could get results and I could quit living in a wishing well that something would happen and be upset all the time because nothing ever did. And I'm sitting in my floor, and I told it to our church, but I tell it to y'all. I'm 20 years old. I don't know anything about binding the devil. As soon as I got the Holy Ghost, I'm going down the road driving, praying warfare. Because that's who I am. That's what God put in me. A warrior to lead this army. So that's what I was doing. I'm at the red light, and someone's pulling up beside me. And I start crying. The Holy Ghost just comes on me. And I start speaking in tongues and then in English saying, God, save them. Don't let them go to hell, God. And I believe that prayer got answered.
Amen.
I know that prayer got answered because the Spirit of God prayed it. There was another day right in here where we were in prayer one day. And we got to the throne room of God. You know, the Bible says that you can go in there anytime through the blood. That the Spirit will take you in there. So we learning how to get out of our minds so we could go in there, because that's where your fruit is. That's where your promises are fulfilled. That's where your healing is. That's where your deliverance is. That's where your provision is. It's in the supernatural realm. It's not in the natural realm. It's not in the natural realm. The natural realm could fall tomorrow, but the spiritual realm is going to be here forever. So I'm sitting here, and I knew, because I felt myself at that throne. I hadn't felt that but one time. And I knew that whatever I prayed, I could have it. And I said, God, would you save Donnie? It's my brother. Would you save Donnie? And he did save him. And when you go in there, he's going to answer your, because he's going to answer what the Spirit's praying, because the Spirit's praying the perfect will of him.
Yes, he is.
See, the Holy Spirit's going to pray God's will. When you get past that mind, he's going to take you in there. We can't say she's healed. We say, Spirit, pray through me for Elder Sonia, yes, till he comes and gives us direction.
Yes.
If we don't, when people die, we get hurt because we don't know why they die, because we stood on the word. We stood on the word. We stood on the word. Yeah, we stood on our word.
Come on.
And, you know, when we do that, he calls them in here. He called them false prophets because they would speak things out of their mind. It wasn't what the Spirit was saying. And it's a way of the church to teach that so people don't have to do anything, because they know people know they can grow their churches. But soon you put a demand on people. But how many know we hadn't lost any here? Because we hadn't lost the one that people think we have lost. Not her, but some. We hadn't lost any. We hadn't lost any of this core group in 15 years. 15 years. Most full gospel churches don't last. They last a year or two. Because when that persecution comes for that word, because I believe every one of them had a heart for God. I know they do. I know they come ready to tear this town up and to use everything they learned in Bible school or in other churches to come here and break this devil over this region. And they come and do everything they know to do. But he had never broke yet. Have you ever seen revival in the streets of Crossed, Arkansas over a week? So how are we going to break him? That means there's something else that has to happen. But like Brother Richard said, we can save a nation in a day. A nation can be born in a day if we can get an army with the revelation of what it takes to do that. What does it take to do that? It takes me letting the Spirit pray through me. It takes me letting the gift of faith come upon me. That when he wants to take me out of my mind, that I go out of my mind and I quit worrying about what's around me. I quit worrying about if I'm doing it wrong or right or any of those things. And I let the Spirit of God take over. And when he takes over, he can do a lot more than I can do. He can take over this city a lot faster than I can. And he is taking it over because y'all are getting the impartation. And as you go out on the streets, you're going to prophesy. You're going to give words of wisdom. You're going to give words of knowledge. You're going to go up to people and you're going to say, "Can I pray for your leg? God just showed me something about your leg." And they're going to be walking normal, but the gift of faith is going to rise up in you. The word of knowledge, the nine gifts of the Spirit that Corinthians talks about, going to rise up in you. And then you'll go to the next one and they'll just tell you all their problems and you'll listen. There's one key to spiritual warfare, one key to breakthrough is timing. And sometimes we want to tell them what we know before it's time to tell them. Sometimes they just need to pour their heart out. But if you'll sit there long enough and you'll let them, don't do anything you don't feel the quickening. Don't try to help them till you feel the quickening. Don't try to do anything out of your mind because the Bible tells you you can. You sit there and you wait and you'll be going up and down the Walmart, putting your groceries in the car, and 500 people walk by you and then one walks by and your spirit turns.
Hallelujah.
And when your spirit jumps like that, then you turn around and you operate in the gift of faith. You operate in the word of knowledge. You operate in the spirit of prophecy. You operate in the word of wisdom. And you trust that spirit on the inside of you. That it doesn't matter if you say it right. It doesn't matter if it's perfect. It's the spirit of God coming forth. And they're going to know the difference. Because he said our spirit bears witness with his spirit. And I know when somebody's real. And I know when they're trying to get my money. I know when somebody cares, and I know when they're religious. And when you do that, you can take a region, you can take a city, when we get out of ourselves enough. See, the enemy knows if he can put sickness, he can put poverty, he can put disease, he can put worry, then it's hard to get out of that mind. Why we got to get out of it? Because he's gonna try to get you thinking about yourself. He's going to try to get you to think about your kids and their problems. But if you'll let the Spirit pray through you, he'll take you past all that. He'll take you past all that. And you'll walk in that room and you'll just lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You'll just go up to the blind and say, "God said for me to lay hands on you. And I command those eyes to open up right now in the name of Jesus." You go up to those deaf ears and say, "I command you to open up in Jesus' name." So I'm here to motivate an army to rise up and let the gift of faith rise up on the inside of you and start using that gift and letting that gift come through and take over this city this year. We can take it in a year, if not a day. Surely we can take it in a year. But if it can keep my mind on me, I'm not going to even think about a need. I'm not even going to be spiritually ready for it. So what's his strategy? To beat you down, make you think you don't got it? and to put so many circumstances and so many distractions that we can't hardly climb out of that thing. And like my husband said a while ago, he tells us to be ready in season and out.
Amen.
I walk in a breakthrough. Yes. You know, you can live in the breakthrough.
Yes.
You don't have to doubt that you have the power. I don't have the power, but Jesus Christ does.
Yes.
When I turn it on me, I'm not going to do anything. But if I know that he said, I'm going to give you this power that I have. God said Jesus had all power. And Jesus said he's going to give it to us. Power to tread on serpents. Power to call devils out of people. Power to set the captive free. That's power. Hey, you might not think a devil coming out is a miracle, but try to get one out. You try to get somebody out of their mind enough to let something that's been put in them all their life and that's made the course of their nature this way. And the spirit goes in there. The spirit rises up. And he says, this is what it is. And then they get all distracted. And you say, no, this is what it is. And you go back to that. And there can be change in that home. There can be change in that relationship. They don't have to get a divorce. They don't have to not have a job. They don't have to. He said, I hate divorce. I hate divorce. He said, I hate it. But if I don't let the spirit rise up in me, then I'm going to vent to my flesh and I'm going to go try to fulfill it every way I can.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm not going to have no power because I can't get out of myself enough. So this year, let's be encouraged to know that it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. God gave me a word for Kim. I was just praying before I went to see her. And this has been going on in her life 4 or 5 years. God hadn't given me a word. I don't go around saying, Kim, you're healed. You're going to be all right, girl. No, 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 no. Don't do. No. You're going to cause damage in families. You're going to cause kids to not understand and not believe God. I have to hear God.
Yes.
But that night, I heard God. He said, go tell her Abraham believed against all hope.
Yes.
He said he considered not his body, and he believed against all hope.
Amen.
And I said, and someone said, does that mean she's healed? Does that mean? I said, that means to come and get into that corporate anointing and have hope that he can do whatever he wants to.
Yes.
That's what that means.
Yes.
Have hope that I come and my eyes aren't on my sickness anymore. My eyes aren't on my disease. My hope is in him and I'm looking to him. And he's the one that can come. He's the one that's going to do the miracle anyway. Charlotte called me yesterday. I was on my way to, I was in Shreveport. And she says that God told her that we're not going to get anything by the arm of our flesh.
That's right.
Death's in the arm of the flesh, she said. And she saw death on Hoda, Sonia's arm, which she saw that Thursday. Well, I can't walk out Thursday and say it's going to be all right. She saw death on her arm. I believe that. And so we went to the spirit and started pulling death off of her. Started pulling it off of her in the name of Jesus, the spirit of death. To get off of her in Jesus' name. I was supposed to go on vacation. It's my anniversary yesterday and my birthday last week. And my husband wanted to take me somewhere. And I woke up before she was alert and I couldn't go. I said, I can't go. And I was so sad for my husband, you know. I said, I can't. But religion will say, you can, you know, go ahead. You know, they can call you. It's all right. God's going to work it out. God's got this. She would have died unless one of y'all rose up and got the burden. And I believe you would have. But he wouldn't let me go. So we were up here praying, and she saw that death on her Thursday night. We prayed about 3 a.m, and then I went in there, and some of them left, some of them come back, and I didn't call people. I mean, the call was out that she quit breathing. you know, and I appreciate everything that everybody does. But anyway, so we're praying. Oh my God, get off of her. She said, loose your gripping fingers, death off of her right now in the name of Jesus. Carl didn't know it. Sonia didn't know it. So then she calls me the next day when I got that release that God said she's in his hands. And she said, Pastor, our arm of the flesh, there's death in it. And God was confirming to me that I didn't have to fight anymore this round. You know, not like that. Not in there with that, in those trenches. I call that the trenches. The Navy SEALs, you know, go in those trenches. Those 2 or 3 days of trenches of not feeling anything but going in the spirit and fighting death. I saw the spirit of death one time. I saw him come get my mama. And I wasn't skilled in none of this then. My eyes woke. She called me that night. She said, if y'all don't pray for me, I'm going to die. This is the first round of it. There wasn't nobody leading prayer in here, like no head intercessor, none of that. I mean, we'd all pray. But I prayed myself to sleep. And my eyes popped. That's what I mean. You can trust him. You can trust the Spirit. My eyes popped open at 6 in the morning. I don't get up till 9 or so. I jumped straight out of that bed and I said, you spirit of death, get off of her right now in the name of Jesus. And I saw this cloaked, you want to see something, get into the spirit realm. You want to go see a yucky movie, you think you like, you know, get in the spirit realm. You'll see devils. But you'll also see angels and the power of God coming, knocking them out. So I said, I saw that thing. It had a black cloak on him. And he come to get her. And I said, you spirit of death. And just like that, you know, you spirit of death. Get just with authority, you know, Jesus Christ on me. I wasn't playing, you know. It wasn't no fake thing. It wasn't like this isn't really happening. This is really happening. You spirit of death, get off of her. And she lived 8 more years after that. But she would have died. That's what I'm trying to get to us today. How many of y'all felt an unction in you? Bible says the Holy Spirit's an unction. He'll give you an unction. He said he'll quicken your mortal body. He said God sent him to be our comforter, our counselor, our friend. So if you don't have a husband today, or you don't have provision, you don't feel like you have anybody love you, he said he would be all that for you. I didn't have nobody call. I called somebody and they were doing stuff over money. I said, can y'all help us pray? They were doing over money, so I didn't have nobody to turn to. But there's going to come a time in these last days where you're not either. And you're going to have to know that that's real on the inside of you. But I'm telling you today so you'll know then that it is real on the inside of you and that you can trust him. But you can't trust in your mind and in the arm of the flesh because, well, you say death's in the arm of the flesh. That means you can pray 5 days and it's in your flesh and it's death in it. Come on. It's not that you got to do it longer or harder. It's you got to do it to that spirit, to that faith. Yeah. What did he tell them? He said, they said, why couldn't we cast this devil out? He said, well, some come out by prayer and fasting. He said, you couldn't cast them out because you're unbelief. So why do we fast? So we have faith. Because when you come out of that place, you're going to have faith to go over there and lay hands on somebody. You're going to have, you know, if you got faith now, that's great, you know. But I'm just saying, if you ever get to where you don't know if you believe, you get at the altar and you seek God in that prayer and fasting. And your boldness, or boldness, boldness, boldness will rise up in you, you know. And I'm a woman pastor, and I got to go around all her family. They're all Christians for 80 years. And I walk in, and I speak, and I shake hands to all these preachers. And I sit down, and one of them gets a chair and puts it right by me, her brother. What's God telling you in this? And I had boldness to tell him what God said. I had boldness. I wasn't ashamed of the gospel. I wasn't ashamed to tell him what God said because I had faith had risen up in me that I knew when I left this altar that she was in God's hands. And it wasn't just saying she's in God's hands. She's really in God's hands. Amen. Really in God's hands. So it's up to him which way it was going to go. And Friday was push and shove, life or death, life or death, life or death. And her eyes opened up. But you know how they opened up? She saw her son. Now, she ain't seen none of us. I went in there, cold, blood all over everything, brain surgery. I'm sorry, but let's get real today. Shaving heads. But when that baby walked in that door, she turned. That was the first inclination Friday night. She turned. And then when he come in the next day, she reached. What she reached with? That arm. That arm that we pulled the spirit of death out of. She reached with that arm. And I text Charlotte, I said, she's awake. She's responding. She's reaching with her arm. I said, what God showed you was true. And she said, the arm of the Lord is not too short to save. That's how you get a word from God. So I'm here to take the pressure off of us. We think that's putting pressure on us to hear from God. But he can speak to you in 5 minutes. And we wear ourselves out for days in the arm of the flesh. David said, y'all come to me with horses and chariots. But I come to you in the name of the Lord God of hosts, or the God of hosts. I come to you in his name. I fight you in his name, devil. The angel of the Lord is with me in every battle that I go into. And I come out on the other side with a clear word, a clear knowing. So it was interesting to see the gift of faith rise up in her. That when we think we're in here and we didn't get anything because we didn't feel anything when we was praying. You know, when we were praying, we were coming against, I'm going to call it a spastic devil. I tried not to start off today with saying I'm going to come against the devil so I wouldn't run everybody off. And I tried not to, like Wednesday, I wanted to tell y'all what Jesus did after the resurrection, but then I had to come back and we had to get somebody free because that's the vision, right? Yeah. Bible says stay in the same calling you've been called. But, you know, it was a few months ago where I said I went to visit someone in the hospital that all their life they were in control and they never gave up that control, you know, to God. But the first thing I saw on them was terror. Because that control wasn't there then. The spirit don't go to bed with you when you're in CCU. Because he done used you up. Like he did some of the great singers. He used them up and then kill them. And we think it's us with all that power and we control. Well, if we have it then, why don't we have it to raise us up on our sick bed then? It's not us. It's a spirit. So sometimes when we go by law and control, because how many know we're born in law? Jesus was born under the law, so he came to fulfill it. So we didn't have to be in that anymore. He said he redeemed us from the curse of the law. But until then, we're born into it. And that's why you cannot ever be saved and your parents be real strict in law. So it's not just Christians that try to religion. It's you're born into it until you're redeemed out of it. So when you have that kind of control, because when you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything else. What else are you going to turn to in a situation like this? But law. If I do this, I'm not doing enough. I got to sit over there, you know, just. So control comes in law to try to make you do more, to make it right and to pay penance. And but that thing is not with you there. It's not that spastic thing. Because I saw this thing years ago and here in prayer. We would pray and then when we would lose control and get into the spirit, someone would start praying in English. And I said, and it'd be a pretty prayer in English. And I said, God, what is that? And it happened. You know, when things happen and they keep happening, then we need to check it out, you know. And I was like, what is that? And he said, you took them to, or whoever's leading it, the place out of control, and they start feeling shaky. They start feeling spastic. You can be spastic and be quiet. How many seen a mouse in a trap? But he's pretty spastic, you know. So you can be quiet as a mouse and be spastic. But he said, there's no control. There's nothing. So they have to try to control again. They have to grab a hold again and put something where they can have it in their mind because of that fear that makes us spastic. Well, that's what happens when people control, and then when circumstances hit, and you'll be thinking, I never seen this out of my husband. I never seen this out of my wife, because they'll lose it. Or when everything don't go their way, and then they just blow up, and you don't know what triggered it, and you try the next time to not do that anymore, and so you don't do that, but you do something else, and it makes them spastic. And we all think that that's on us, that we're doing something wrong, when it's really in them, because everything's out of their control, and they turn spastic, and they start getting panicky, and they start... Well, we saw that spirit when we were praying for her, and those things were happening to her body. She's jerking IVs out and that spastic thing because she had never been to this place where she had been so much out of this control, and nobody could control what was happening to Sonia, and she wouldn't mind me sharing this. But every time that something was out of her control at a level, that thing would come on her, and her eyes would turn green, and they'd flash, and she'd get spastic. How many's done that? I've done it. Amen. How many got spastic with your wife? How many got spastic with your kids? How many got spastic with your husband? Well, it might have been because you couldn't control the situation. And it's fear. It's like a panic thing comes on you. It hadn't made it to a panic attack, but in some people it gets into a panic attack. Then they got to take pills and drugs because of fear. The Bible said in the last days, man's heart's going to fail for fear. So we have to know how to operate in faith. But when you have that faith realm and that spirit on the inside of you, and you learn how to use that spirit of faith, you learn how to use that gift of faith, when everything's out of your control, you just let it be out of control. And you go in there and say, okay, I'm already this much out of control. I'm just going to let you take over my spirit, and I'm going to let the spirit man show me what to do. I'm going to let the spirit man show me how to react. I'm going to quit being spastic. I'm going to quit throwing fits. I'm going to quit trying to get my way, and I'm going to let the God of Israel rise up, the God of faith rise up and show me how to come out of this. God, we give you that control. We give you that control. We give you that control today, God. Because all truth is parallel, and if you control, you're not going to let the Spirit take. You'll let him go so far. But we got to be taught. But you don't have to be spastic anymore. You don't have to take nerve pills. He said, I'm going to enter you into rest. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 4. There is therefore a rest for the people of God. Yeah. We don't have to. He said in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. So if he leads me beside still waters and lets me lay down in green pastures and my sleep is sweet, then there's nothing to be spastic about. So if that thing's coming on you today, it's because it's manifesting, because we're coming against law. And you're not being able to operate in some of those areas of law anymore because the pressure is coming on in the spirit realm. So we can get free. Amen. That's what this ministry is about. How many want to quit being spastic? How many want to get free today? How many want to believe the gift of faith to rise up in you and operate through your life so you can have your miracles, so you can have provision, so you can have life and life forevermore, so you can quit being anxious, so you don't have to worry anymore because you got a knowing in your soul. You got a knowing in your heart. I'm not spastic today over Sonia. I got peace. Hallelujah. I just feel, keep feeling it. I'm going to let them play. If you want prayer this morning, if you want to get that fear out, if you want to have peace in your heart, if you want to believe God to come in, and maybe you don't have that gift of faith on you because you haven't accepted Jesus Christ. Maybe if you don't have that faith in you because you haven't, can't have any faith without Jesus. Amen. He is faith. Hallelujah. So I'm going to let them sing a song in the altar. And if you want to come and pray and just ask God, do I have a spastic devil? Do I get upset when I lose control? And God, would you show me when I was a child, who was that way with me? Because I can promise you somebody was. Somebody got all out of shape, been out of shape when they couldn't control. I'm not saying they knew that, because we control out of fear. But fear is the opposite of faith, right? So if you don't have faith in you, you're going to operate out of fear and you're going to get spastic sometimes. Amen? But God, we just want to come against that today, and we just want to expose it. So, because we know that it's not going to carry us through eternity, Lord. That thing's not going to be there for us, God. That fear ain't going to be there. He runs out the room because he's afraid. He ain't going to be there.